Being at the church picnic yesterday reminded me of a story that talks a little bit about picnics, but also about how churches sometimes deploy their resources. There was a Baptist church, it may have been First Baptist long ago before any of us were participants here, who decided that at their annual summer church picnic they were going to challenge the Presbyterian church down the road to a race. And so they went down to the North Saskatchewan River, and they had those eight-person racing skulls, you know, with people who row and a coxswain in the back shouting out the orders. And so they decided they were going to have the race, the Baptists against the Presbyterians. And the race began with some signal, and right from the start, the Presbyterians just shot ahead and beat the Baptist boat by 11 or 12 lengths. And that was the end of the picnic. The Baptists went home a little bit embarrassed. Well, the following week, the deacons had a meeting, and they wanted to know what they should do about this. So they formed a committee. And the committee met for several months and came back with a report to the congregation. And they said, well, we've figured out what the problem was. The Presbyterians had eight people rowing and one shouting the orders, and we had one rowing and eight shouting the orders. So they sent the committee back to figure out what they should do about it for the next year. And so the committee, after several months of deliberation, came back and gave their report. Our guy has to row faster. Well, Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 12 both speak of the splendor and diversity and the strength of the work of the church. We, as the body of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, are called to work together, to be part of that body. We, as many members, contribute all that we have. And as a community of faith here at First Baptist Church, we serve God, we serve one another, we serve our city, we serve our world, in the name of Jesus Christ. And it all begins with the vision that God has given us for who we are to be. In order to be good stewards, we need to have a vision of what it is we are working toward, a vision of what God is doing among us, of what is possible. Well, what do we see when we look at God working among us? Those who began this church more than a century ago had a vision for something. They had a vision for a community that would worship together, that would serve, that would come and develop faith maturity as a body of Christ together, that would be in mission. And so we need to develop a holy imagination, a vision of what is possible for us as a congregation. Imagine a church that has enough resources to support the ministries that we have undertaken, and each year to begin new things that God is calling us to as we see new needs emerging in our city and in our world. Imagine changed lives, transformed communities. What is our preferred future? It's a congregation that is in a constant state of renewal as the Holy Spirit moves here among us, teaching us ways to contribute to the peace and well-being of our city and our world. How does such vision develop? We pray together and ask God to imprint something on our hearts, to open our eyes, to see the world and its needs as God sees it. We need to look around. Look around here. Look around in our neighborhoods. Look around among our family and friends. We need to listen to God and to one another to hear where God might be prompting us to move forward. And we look to examples in Scripture to inspire and inform us about what it is we might or could do. Today in Edmonton, there are people who need your friendship, who need you to engage with them. They may be in your family, they may be in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school, somewhere in your sphere of contacts. There are people who are hurting, who need a listening ear, who need an encouraging word, who need your faith story to lead them to Jesus Christ so that they too can have the hope of eternity in their hearts. In our society, there is confusion about what it means to live well, about what are the things that are important for us. In our world, there is a need for peace and well-being for all. So our mission as a church is imperative. Look around. See the lives that are being lost for eternity without Jesus. And we have the answer for the soul sickness of the people who live around us. It's good news, and it's for sharing. That's our mission. That's our vision. But we can't simply have a great vision about what it is the needs are and what it is we should be doing about them. We need to get into action and actually do something about that. Vision is not enough by itself. It needs to be coupled with action. I love the story in Acts 2 that's repeated in the other Synoptic Gospels as well, of the friends who brought their paralyzed buddy to Jesus. And because there was such a big crowd at the door, they couldn't get through. And so these four friends carried the stretcher up onto the roof and dug a hole and lowered their friend down to Jesus. And Jesus provided the healing touch. Those friends had a vision that led to a bold plan. They went beyond a great idea. They worked together. Each one of them was important because if one corner of the stretcher gets dropped, the poor fellow on the stretcher falls off and doesn't get any help. It took all four. They needed to work together. And our actions and our plans as a church need all of us to work together, to grab whatever corner of the stretcher we can grab and to work together to make it happen. The barriers that faced those four friends were significant. There was a huge crowd that they couldn't get through. But they didn't let the barriers stop them. They formulated a plan B and kept on in action. Their plan was altered. They deconstructed the roof. Can't imagine what the owner of that house must have been thinking right about that time, but away they went anyway. They didn't let that stop them, and they moved on to be in action. There's a wonderful story from a pastor named Dave Stone about a farmer who noticed that every year his barn, which was in a kind of a low spot, was getting flooded. The water would come in there. It was built in an inopportune place. And so every spring and every time there was a very heavy rain, his barn would kind of get flooded, and it was causing some rot in the foundation. And he was talking to his son-in-law about it. And his son-in-law, who was an engineer, went back and did some calculations and figured out that if they had enough people, they could lift that barn and move it. And so he created a plan, drew up plans for cross beams on the bottom, and calculated that if they had 500 people, each of those people would only have to lift 67 pounds in order to move that barn. And so they made it happen. They built these cross beams and handles, and they invited people from the local village, which were approximately 500, and they all came, and the family created a bit of a celebration. They had hot dogs and chips and kind of like a church picnic. And then at the appointed time, they each grabbed onto their handle, and those 500 people, with only 67 pounds each to lift, went 1, 2, 3, lift. And up came that barn, and they marched it up the hill. They carried the barn up 86 feet onto higher ground and settled it back down on a new foundation that had been prepared for it there. And Dave Stone called back to check the accuracy of the story, and the farmer's wife said, "You forgot one thing, Dave. We also turned the barn so that it was facing in a better direction." Well, lifting together, friends, a church can move, and it can turn to receive those needs or to respond to those needs that keep emerging in our world. And we have work and a job to do together. Like the four friends who brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus, our missional task is to bring people to meet Jesus. We're all responsible to participate in the means of the ministry here, so we need to get our hearts wrapped around reaching the lost, nurture, worship, and fellowship. It'll take some of our time. Maybe time to help a child, to lead a group, to shovel a walk, to work on a committee, to sing in the choir. All of those things are so important. It means our willingness to forgive one another when we've been alienated, to hear each other's opinions, to renew our surrender so that we are able, with all of our diversity, to respond as a unified body. James, in his letter, says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only." Be sure that our action is focused on mission. Spend your life well for God. Get into action, whatever action God calls you to. And then together we will be blessed by God's wonderful results. The faith of the four had a profound effect for the one, because it says, as Jesus saw their faith, he reached down and healed the one on the mat and said, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And so the paralyzed man did just that. What a wonderful result came from that story. And we can be thankful for the wonderful results that have been accomplished together as we work as a congregation here at First Baptist Edmonton, extending our ministry reach. Look at what Vision Together and Action has produced as God has blessed it. A community of people worshiping together week by week, where we come to meet God and celebrate our faith together. A place where people are blessed, inspired, comforted, cared for, connected. Facilities that are well cared for, offering a place of beauty and ministry. Our pastoral staff, who bless us time and again with their commitment and giftedness, and they serve far and beyond what just the contractual responsibilities are. We're so grateful for our staff. Our volunteers, who we see in so many ways, the choir and our council, and others who we don't see, those who are down teaching our children and leading our youth and serving in a variety of ways. And all of us have the opportunity to be volunteers in various ways. Our mission opportunities through the Mustard Seed, where Sam and the crew served supper to several hundred people just this past Thursday night, thanks to them. For our opportunities in Bolivia, where another team is going down later in the year to connect with our partners in mission down in Bolivia. The English as a Second Language program, our building that's used to facilitate so many other groups that need a place to meet, and we, because we work together as a church, are able to offer them a place where they can come together and receive some hope and have their lives strengthened. The resources that are here for our children and youth. What a blessing these little ones are as they march by us each Sunday. Our cooperative denominational programs, the work that happens at our Gull Lake camp just down the road. New churches that are planted in Western Canada. Do you know that our Canadian Baptists of Western Canada planted 14 new churches in the past year? What a celebration of encouragement. Celebrating our identity as a Baptist family. I recently represented us at the Canadian Council of Churches in Ontario, and Reg Bibby, our sociologist from Lethbridge, who's for over 40 years now been doing studies of religious trends in Canada, says that we as Baptists are one of the denominational groups that are on the growing edge. And in the next census, we're going to see some of that reflected as the census figures come to light. That's his projection as he's done his surveys. What a point of encouragement. And do you know that over the last several years, we read the story of Pentecost, and as you read a little farther after Peter's sermon that Ange read from, about 3,000 were added to the church that day. And we say, wow, we could only add 3,000 to our church in one day. Well, David Barrett, the church historian and demographer, has calculated that in the People's Republic of China, if today is an average day, there will be about 32,000 new Christians. And in sub-Saharan Africa, another 21,000. And if you add up where all of the new Christians are happening, and if you divide it by 24, there are about 3,000 new believers every hour being added to the church. Praise God for living in such an age as this. We have so much for which to be thankful and to celebrate here at First Baptist Church. But there's a PS to the story of the four friends who brought their friend for miraculous healing. The PS that's not doesn't appear in the text, but we know that it had to happen, was that somebody had to fix the roof. There was a cost to roof repairs. That doesn't get celebrated in the story. We see the man standing up, taking up his mat and going home. We see his friends celebrating in the background. We see the crowd going, wow, to Jesus. But we don't see the poor homeowner and maybe a few of his buddies getting up there and paying for the repairs to the roof after it was all done. Ministry costs. We can celebrate all of the good things, but we can know that and not apologize for receiving an offering and for encouraging each other to step up and support the ministries that we enjoy with such richness. Not only our dollars, our time and our energy and our leadership are part of it. It's a whole attitude of stewardship and of giving back to God. In your bulletin, there's a chart that has come from another congregation who used that to help people think about what it is they might give to the church based on their income. The New Testament invites us to be proportional givers. As God has blessed you, give to the work of God. And so take that home and pray about it and think about what your commitment to giving to the church might be so that our ministries might be supported. Be a percentage giver. Whatever percentage fits for you, if it's 1% or if it's 50% of what God has provided to you, start there and move forward from there. As we lift together, as each one takes a part, whatever part God has called you, we can accomplish so many good things. We don't have a barn to move, but we do have a church in mission, with missional projects that need the support of all of us. Lifting together is the only way to see fruitful results. Are you ready, team? 1, 2, 3, lift.